Is it Christmas yet? Is it Christmas
Welcome
yet?
Welcome back to Hoops HD.
Is it Christmas yet?
David, it's past Christmas.
What the hell? Well, all I got to say is, if you've been following Twitter, do I look like a freaking Christmas decoration to you?
No, but
you look like Christmas dinner.
We actually had David Griggs out at all the games, both on, what was it, on Sunday and today, on Tuesday, giving autographs and everything out, out of the puppet bunker for it, David.
I'm happy to report that everybody in attendance wanted both an autograph and a picture.
everyone in attendance at every game that was played those days.
Yes, including the four Diamond Head Classic games, but I couldn't make it to that. I was recovering from the day before.
Well, I do want to welcome everybody back to our Hoops HD report. We're going to have an abbreviated version tonight. I've got joining me John Stalica, John Titel, and David Griggs. And we're just going to quickly go through the events that happened the past week, take a look at some of the upcoming weeks, and maybe if we have time, do a few predictions on here on where we stand in each of the conferences in terms of who's going to win the championship, how many bids they're going to get. We do have an abbreviated panel, though, so let's get right on into it and pull the standings up in the ACC here on the screen, up to the minute standings, including every game that's been played tonight, David.
Yep, every game. But how about Boston College in first place? There's never been a first place team from the ACC that wasn't a protected seed that I know of. Is BC a protected seed right now, John Titel?
Negative, but it's hilarious that the number one RPI team in the nation is in the bottom of their own conference. That's
yes.
15th place for the best team in the nation out of core rankings. There we go.
As a bracketologist, how do you weigh that? Because they're in 15th place. But they're tops in the RPI.
I'm going to weigh it favorably when I post my first bracket of the year on Sunday, and I think they're going to be higher than a 15th seed.
All right.
Well,
not asking you to give that away, but higher than a 15th seed.
Higher than a 15th seed. All right. Titel, a couple of stories coming out of the ACC. One of them was last week already, almost a week ago now, with North Carolina falling at home to Wofford, though. The upset of the season by far?
No.
I think so. I mean, I'm glad somebody on this panel had the foresight to give Fletcher McGee a shout-out last time out because he had 27 points and helped Wofford beat Carolina 79-75. Cameron Jackson with an amazing all-around game, 18 points, 9 boards, and 6 blocks, even though the entire Tar Heel team only had 5. He also had 3 steals. The Tar Heels couldn't make a bucket behind the arc, 7 of 25. So I think Carolina beat them 9 times out of 10. This was the 10th time.
I will say that it was the biggest upset in regards to the importance of it and the magnitude of it. As far as the probability of it, I still think that it's another ACC team that fell to Grambling. I think that may have been the least probable win maybe ever. But this one was huge, and I guess that this is more of a discussion for under the radar. Wofford, not a team that we were really down on as being at the bottom, but we weren't even expecting to see them at the top of the SoCon. So it was a huge shock. But again, someone on this panel, I forget who, had the foresight to give them a shout-out.
Yeah, no, he did. Although I think I asked you if they were going to win the game, Titel, and you did not. You said no on that one, but
I still can't believe they won, but McGee was a
man. I noticed we are missing a score up there, but the other story out of the ACC, Stalica, was Miami in the Diamond Head, where we see their two wins there. For some reason, their loss is not showing up, but they did lose the game to New Mexico State in between the win over Hawaii and the win over Middle Tennessee. So how shocking was that loss, though, to Mexico State out there for the Hurricanes?
I don't know if it was terribly surprising, because it seemed like Miami's biggest win so far was the win at Minnesota. I mean, New Mexico State is going to be a very good team by under-the-radar standards, but at the same time, they still did rebound. They got a decent win over Middle Tennessee as far as the third-place games go last night. So it's not going to be a total loss for Miami, but I think the other team we have to highlight is going to be Syracuse, who did end up losing in overtime to the Bonnies at home.
Yeah, huge win for the Bonnies, actually. We'll get to the A-10 a little
huge
bit later
win.
On.
Yeah.
Quickly, let's go through some of the upcoming games here as we are finally, at last, conference play after a couple of non-conference games coming up on Wednesday night. Conference play starting this weekend. David, how excited are you that we finally got there and the non-conference slate is done and over with?
Yeah, especially with this slate of games. But there are a couple of big ones. This Vatek-Syracuse game, you get the sense that both teams have done well enough to be in the picture, but not so much that they can skate yet. So a little bit of a sense of urgency between two good teams there. Florida State Duke, again, probably a one seed hosting what might be a protected seed or a team that might miss the tournament, depending on what team shows up on any given night. But another one, how about this? Two other ones, BC Virginia. Does BC have what it takes to actually make a run at the field? And same with NC State and Clemson, who we've seen have big out-of-conference showings before and then taper off. So, yeah.
Yeah, and Ty,
you are missing a game on there, yeah.
We're missing another game here. I don't know. We went 0-2 in these standings here. I got to figure out why a few games didn't show up. But coming up Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock, Kentucky-Louisville, one of the biggest non-conference games of the year every year. What are your thoughts about that game heading towards it?
Had Kentucky taken care of business against UCLA, I would have had them as a heavy favorite against the Cardinals at Rupp Arena on Friday. Since they lost, they were really exposed on defense. They just could not stop a UCLA team that is good, but not at all great compared to last year's team that went far in the tournament. So I think Kentucky might be ripe for the picking, although I can't remember the last time Calipari's ever lost two games in a month, much less a week. So, I don't know.
Request, Chad, can we get both those team sheets up side by side?
Sure, Kentucky and Louisville?
Yeah.
All right, we'll go to our team sheets here.
Yeah, and I always like ask Chad to pull up the team sheets just because these are such wonderful team sheets. Who the hell is that?
Well, I got to learn how to type here. Come on, give me a minute. All right, there we go. Kentucky coming up on the
great
left
television as we're waiting, as we're watching Chad make typos. Right here on the air in front of millions of people.
Well, you got Kentucky on the left there, Louisville on the right. I know a little bit of Louisville's schedule is cut off, but there is that top game at Kentucky is showing up on this screen. Right. I don't know why it's on the other one.
And if you look at these two profiles, Louisville in particular, you know, they had the close loss at Purdue. I know Purdue blew it open kind of, but not really until the final minute. Louisville actually led for a fair amount of that game. One of the things you're not seeing on either profile is a really high caliber win. So in addition to being a rivalry, it's normally not that important other than the winner gets a quality win on their resume, generally speaking. But is there a sense of urgency for both teams outside of the rivalry here to where this is a game that both of them kind of need?
I don't necessarily agree that's a sense of urgency, because while there is no big win there yet, look at these upcoming schedules for both these teams. Yeah, it's only top 100 games the rest of the way, other than a few outliers. They're going to have more than enough chances in both these conferences to get the wins they need to make the tournament.
And it's rare this is going to be one of those years where Kentucky can actually count on teams in the SEC to bolster their profile, because their only win of note so far is at home against Virginia Tech. It's a good thing they're going to be hosting this one at Rupp this year.
Yeah, and you got to wonder, you look at that win right now, it's one data spot away from not even being a second-tier win. So,
Tytel, let me ask you real quick. Who do you see as the ACC regular season champion this year if it's not Boston College holding up?
Man, that's a great question. There's so many teams in the mix because there's so many teams from this conference making the tournament. If I had to pick one today, I'd say Virginia, which I don't believe because I haven't been impressed by them, but they don't have a lot of mistakes on their resume so far, and I think they're going to get better because they're young. So I'll go with Virginia.
Yeah, I look at that offensive rating here, that Virginia's offense being in the top 30. You know the defense is going to be up there number one, but just how good they've been on offense as well. I kind of like that pick. I was leaning towards Duke, but Stalika, where are you going to go?
Well, as of today, I would have Duke as my top-seeded team in the ACC, even with a toe stub at Boston College. But at the same time, keep an eye on North Carolina, because even outside of the losses against Wofford and Michigan State, they've still got a bunch of solid wins that are at least top 100, top 50 RPI. So there's not a lot of bye games on their schedule. and there won't be any in the ACC outside of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, David, you agree with you want to agree with either one of us, or you want to?
I'm kind of gonna. I still like Duke in the sense that, like, I think that they have a loss, but it was their first true road game. I think it's out of their system now. I think that they're going to be better for it, and I don't think it would be lingering as much as it is now had it been in the middle of conference play. It just turned out to be at the beginning, and there have been no other conference games. I still like Duke, even though that they've given one up to BC, which is probably one of the more winnable road games. But, I think it made them better for what's to come.
And you are seeing 10 teams here getting votes in either the AP or the coaches poll. I don't think this is a 10-bid league, but I think we're looking at a 9-bid league, Tytel. That's kind of where I'm looking at in this league.
I was going to say 8 or 9. I mean, I'm still not sold on Syracuse by any stretch of the imagination. If you're beating this year's Georgetown team in overtime, you're a little shaky for me. Virginia Tech looked decent against Kentucky. I still can't figure out Notre Dame to save my life. Sometimes they look like a top 5 team. Other times they look like a bubble team. Really weird season for them.
All right. Well, let's go right on over to the Big East next. And David, here's the results from the past week in the Big East. I don't know that there was anything truly of note, although Xavier did pick up a nice win at Northern Iowa.
Well, Georgetown with another big win. Double digits, this one, over North Tech. I mean, they are just rolling along there at 10-1, third place. And their strength of schedule has cracked the top 350, which is an improvement.
Well, but Stalika, you are a Big East guy. The upcoming schedule, again, conference play here starting on Wednesday with Xavier gets right into it here with the game at Marquette Wednesday night.
Yeah, I'll probably be getting into this later as far as a final thought, but they had a very short Christmas break after what was a very nice win on the road at Northern Iowa Friday. They only had a couple days rest before coming back for practice last night and obviously hitting the road today for the game at Marquette. But I would say there's a greater urgency for Marquette, who really needs to be, at least defend their home floor if they're going to be wanting of the at-large candidates coming out of the Big East. Same thing for Butler, who is going to need a road win at Georgetown.
Yeah, and I'm trying to get some scores up here because we're for some reason the Thursday and Friday games are not showing up on our screen here because we are missing a couple of days.
Yeah, we're again, that's technical issues. Sorry about that. But Villanova looking like a one seed. They've looked like a one seed all year. They may look like the overall number one seed. I think Xavier, for the most part, has looked one seed good as well. And I mean, I made the comment to people about how impressed I was with their win at Northern Iowa, and people thought it was just sort of like a backhanded compliment. But that's going to turn. Northern Iowa is probably not going to lose a home game all year outside of that one. And how many games in the conference are harder to win on the road than that one? I mean, certainly Villanova is. Seton Hall probably is. All of the rest of them, I think it's harder to win at Northern Iowa than it is to win at Marquette. And Xavier is looking at maybe a 15-3 type year. And how close can they get to the one line?
Well, Tytel, real quickly, the two missing games up there, the big one Thursday, actually, is Creighton at Seton Hall, also Providence St. John's. I think you ought to give us a little report on Georgetown as well, though, correct?
It's going to be very little because it was ugly. Saw a one-loss team play a winless team on Saturday when Georgetown destroyed Alabama A&M by 40 points. The game was not that close. Talk about a lack of defense. The Bulldogs had zero steals and zero blocks. It was not a great sight to see, but free tickets, so what am I going to do?
But David, back to you. You mentioned that Xavier. Do you think they can actually top Villanova in this league, or are they just blowing line?
No, I don't think they can top them, but I think that they can still get very close to the one line. I mean, I think that, okay, I could see them. I don't think they're going to win at Villanova, and I think Nova is a little more capable of winning at places like Creighton. I could see Xavier being more likely to stumble than Villanova probably is, but I could see it a 17-1, 15-3 type situation where Nova's on the one line and Xavier's very close to it. Because Xavier's only loss was to Arizona State, who in fact did blow it wide open in the second half, but who Xavier had a double-digit lead on going into the half.
Stalika, how many bids do you think the Big East gets? We're only seeing four teams getting votes in the polls here.
I would say we could probably end up with six bids out of the Big East, but we're also going to keep an eye on a team like St. John's, who the computers love right now, but I'm still waiting to see what they're going to do against the top half of the Big East. I mean, we know they'll probably score a few wins at home against the cream of the crop, but it's been about 3 years since they've been able to get notable road wins in Big East play.
I don't really agree with you there. I like those four teams that are getting votes: Nova, Xavier, Seton Hall, and Creighton. Sorry, not Georgetown. But between St. John's and Butler, I think there's a fifth bid. But that's all I'm seeing right now, David. Are you seeing six? This may be a five bid league this year.
No, the fact that it's a down year and they're still sending half the damn league to the tournament just goes to show you how strong the overall league is. Who else sends more than half the league to the tournament? You know, typically the ACC's only done it once since taking on their monstrosity format. So
let's turn over to the Big Ten and tell here's the results in the past week in the Big Ten. Another conference that just had a ton of bye games. I guess the Oklahoma Northwestern game was the only game that looked like it was going to be a good one. Really wasn't.
Yeah, not a great week for the Big Ten in non-conference play. The Hoosiers took on Fort Wayne and lost by 20 points. Giving a 17-4 advantage from three-point land, as well as 13 steals. The other tough loss was Northwestern, who got throttled by Oklahoma on Friday, 104-78. The Sooners are up 30 at the half. Trey Young had 25-10 in the first half. He also had 12 assists in 27 minutes. The entire Wildcat team at 13. Not the best week for the Big Ten.
How about Illinois beating Mizzou in the annual bragging rights game? I mean, if you're going to pick a high water moment, it's that one. And although Illinois probably not a tournament team, does Underwood have them going in the right direction? And can he get them there before the FBI drags them off in handcuffs?
I got to say, another result that's a little mildly surprising is Iowa knocking off Colorado, because the Buffs had turned out to have a bloated record through November, but had a few tough losses themselves against Xavier, Colorado State, and now an Iowa team that's probably going to be reloading.
Sleek, I just brought up the upcoming schedule there. Again, the only one game missing, but that's just a Thursday game between Hartford and Rutgers. We're not actually going to be getting into Big Ten play until after Monday of next week. A bunch more non-conference games. So is there any of these games that you could see a potential Big Ten team going down in this last round of bye games?
I wish I could say Mother Miami is going to knock off Ohio State, but I'm afraid I don't see that happening.
Well, let me stick with you then. Is Michigan State the overwhelming favorite in this league, or do you want to maybe make a claim that Purdue could take it?
I think it's going to be competitive as far as Michigan State and Purdue competing for the Big Ten crown, but beyond that, the pickings are going to be pretty slim, because right now there are only four teams that I feel are going to be locks, and beyond that, I would probably say Minnesota. Michigan's had a decent year, but I could see teams like Maryland and Ohio State also sneaking into the field.
Oh, I could see another team sneaking way into the field. You know, you got to figure that if the officiating is ever fair, which it hasn't been in their five losses, that Nebraska and 10 miles are going to get to the Why do you always – I try and give people the truth, and you just buzz it. You don't like the truth.
Tytel, who do you think wins the Big Ten, and how many bids do you think it gets?
I want to say Michigan State, but I looked at last year's results. Purdue beat them twice in a month and had at least 80 points in each game. So don't sleep on Purdue. Michigan State is the odds-on favorite, but Purdue is legit this year, which, thank God, their destruction of Arizona and the Bahamas is going to look like a good loss eventually.
So how many bids do you think we get out of the league?
Oh, let's set the over-under at 6.5, please.
I'm taking the under. Holy crap.
I'm taking the under there also. I think I like Michigan State, Purdue. I think Michigan is going to do enough to get there. Beyond that, I think you got like four or five bubble teams that maybe two make it, David.
Yeah, I could see that.
That's where I'm at. right. But David, let me stick with you for a second. Head over to the Big 12 with last week's results coming up on the screen right now, including, I mean, we already talked about the Oklahoma Northwestern game, but Texas game, the nice win over Alabama also.
Yeah, real nice win, not on campus, but in Birmingham in front of a very partial Alabama crowd. And they didn't just win. It was how they won. I mean, they didn't blow them out, but they won rather comfortably. But it's just crazy that Texas is a really good team. They have three losses, and no one else has as many as they do. Just an enormous six out of conference run for a lot of these teams. Texas Tech, a team nobody thought was going to be good, didn't start off anywhere near the rankings, in the rankings now. TCU, no sane person thought they were going to be good. You did. They're in the rankings now. And again, Oklahoma is just looking really good. And it's just one of those things. Do you just bracket this conference and call it a region? Because once again, every single night, not all these teams will get to the tournament, but all of them are capable of beating tournament caliber teams, and it's just going to be a gauntlet. And is it one of those deals where 14-4 lands you on top of the league?
Well, here is the upcoming schedule. You're seeing four games on Friday, then the huge Oklahoma TCU game on Saturday on top of that. This is just a – I mean, this is going to be insanity. I don't know if there's going to be a league.
Every game, every Saturday, Monday, it's going to be great.
Is there a league game that's going to be out there all season that's not going to be a great game, though? Tytel?
Oh, but if you like offense, that Oklahoma-TCU game is going to be fantastic. Both teams, it looks like their adjusted offense is top 15 in the nation. TCU undefeated. Oklahoma only one loss with potential player of the year candidate in Trae Young. It's going to be an amazing game, I think.
I think the other surprise at first sight is seeing Baylor having the highest RPI here. I mean, if you had told me at the beginning of the year that they would beat Creighton in Wisconsin and have a pair of tough losses against Xavier and Wichita State, their problem is the bottom of the schedule looks more like Georgetown when your wins are against Savannah State, Southern, Sam Houston, Hillsdale, Free Will Baptist. Yeah. We have a problem.
Yeah, that 290 strength of schedule not helping Baylor, although they are definitely going to have their chances to at Texas Tech at home against TCU just the next week alone.
Yep.
I have no idea. Do we put all 10 teams in a hat and pull one out to say who the champion is going to be here, or do we just got to say Kansas because it's always Kansas?
I'm going to go with someone other than Kansas.
Okay.
I'm going with Oklahoma.
I like it. I tell you, think the Sooners can knock them off the throne.
Yes, but I've picked against Kansas several times in the past decade and been wrong, so I'm going to go with Kansas this time.
Okay. And Salika, how many bids do you think we get out of here? 9, 10, 11?
11.
As of right now, I think it's going to be 8 teams, but I think it's eventually going to contract down to 7 just because there's going to be too much parity here.
Yeah, that's probably. I agree with you on the 7 bids. I think somebody gets knocked out just you know, with a great resume, and but can't get sitting right there near 500 despite that. But David, I think it's 7 bids.
I could. The only way I could see it being 8. It's just they have to deal with the unfortunate issue of every time you play, someone's going to lose. And unless one of the things that's aided this conference in getting 7 teams before was TCU. Was just a win for everybody. And I don't think there's a TCU in the league this year. Unfortunately for them, TCU is really good. So I think it's 7. And the only way I could see it being 8 is if someone bottoms out and then the 8th place team wins a couple of really big, well, they would have to be big games. You're talking about winning quarter and semifinal games against top 15 teams in the conference tournament.
Let's go over, take a look over at the Pac-12 here. In terms of the past week, you already mentioned the UCLA's win over Kentucky, and you also had USC taking the Diamond Head Championship, although they avoided Miami to do that.
Yeah, but I still think that USC does not come out ahead this week due to the loss at home to Princeton by double digits, albeit in overtime last Tuesday. You're giving up 9 rebounds to a 6'5 guard, Miles Stevens, who also had 30 points. And two days later, you learn that De'Anthony Melton is ruled ineligible for the season. Maybe they'll fix it, maybe not. Obviously, winning a tournament anywhere is great, but I think that USC has a rocky road ahead, and Princeton kind of showed that they need a lot of work on the defensive end.
All right. Dave, in terms of the upcoming week here in the Pac-12, we do go right into conference play, and real excited about Saturday's Arizona State-Arizona game.
Yeah. Oh, that one's going to be fantastic. It's unfortunate that that's probably the game of the year, and it's the first game. The students, I don't know if they'll be on campus or not, but I'm sure it'll be a hostile, wonderful, bitter atmosphere, and I'm looking forward to it.
Tytel, you want to give us a preview of it? And it's not quite the game of the year because they'll have a return game against each other later on. But
that's the thing. In my sick world, I kind of want us to lose that game and then wait a couple months till the Sun Devils are 25-0 and then go into Tempe and ruin their perfect season. If ruined in December, that's fine too. It's going to be tough. Like, I've seen in the football rivalry where the worst team always ruins the better team season. This year, they're both good. Arizona has turned the corner. Thank God Raleigh Alkins has come back and saved the season. The Sun Devils are legit, and if Arizona does not bring their A game, they're not going to win. But it's a bitter, bitter rivalry, like David said, and it's just going to be like –
and
even during the school break, I think that there's going to be plenty of locals showing up, and Hurley is going to get mercilessly booed every minute of the game.
And the thing about this, it is a bitter rivalry. It is relevant on a national level for both teams this year, and it hasn't been that way in a while. Like, these are two potential protected seeds really playing not just for first place and bragging rights, but for first, you know, the higher spot on the seed list, and it might be the first of three meetings. So I'm looking forward to this one.
I think your team's going to end up taking this conference title at the end of the day. I'm still not sold that Arizona State can actually go through the gauntlet of a Pac-12 season, even if it's a weaker Pac-12, and prove to be a better team than than Arizona. So I am going to take Arizona to win it, but I'm also thinking we're looking at a four-bid league here. Salika, would you agree with me?
Yeah, because right now I'm probably saying it's going to be the Arizona schools as well as the Southern California schools. But if an outsider like Washington, for example, wants to make some hay and get at least one or two wins on this road trip, that would go a long way towards at least getting a fifth bid. But the Oregon schools, for example, they definitely must hold serve against Utah and Colorado this week.
Go ahead, David.
I was just going to say UCLA got a real nice win recently in that neutral floor win against Kentucky. I think they really needed that one.
Right, and I do like UCLA and the Arizona schools as tournament teams. But Tytel, I'm looking at Oregon more than USC as my fourth team.
They're a nice little team. I'm not impressed with the strength of schedule. I don't recall them ever scheduling up way too high above their heads. And they're young. They left a ton of guys from last year. But somebody mentioned Washington. Had you told me that you're going to lose your head coach in Lorenzo Romar, Arizona, and your star recruit, Michael Porter Jr., but that Washington and Missouri are both going to be 10-3? Unbelievable!
Wait a second, though. Losing Romar, that was an upgrade.
Addition by subtraction?
Apparently.
Tytel, let me stick with you with the SEC here. We already discussed Kentucky's loss. Few other games of note. We saw Georgia with what I thought was going to be a good game against Temple end up being just – they completely destroyed them.
Yeah, Georgia is it's a small sample size so far. I'm not very impressed by the metrics, and Yonte Maiden is capable of leading a team, putting them on his shoulders, and taking them into the tournament. But I think he's going to need some more help once they get into play. As like somebody was saying, this is a year when that whole SEC is going to be so much better. This is we've seen it be a 2-3 bid league in the past. This time we're looking at several bids, I think.
One of the teams I like, I know their profile isn't top-notch, but when you talk about the eye test and you talk about the opportunities ahead, I think it could be by the end of the year, and that's the year and that's the team that Chad has picked every year but this year, and they're actually good. How about Auburn?
I mean the strength of schedule kind of weak compared to the rest of the conference there, but you know, the metrics are there for a tournament bid, and obviously 11-1 is 11-1 no matter who you're playing.
And you know, well, they win you know, real nice win against Middle Tennessee State in Birmingham. Went to Murray State. That's not an easy game. Now, I'm not saying that that's, oh, they played Murray State and let's make them a protected seed. But I'm just saying, when you add all the small things together that they've done, I think they've passed the eye test. And when they get in the league play, they're going to win. So they're going to beat some of these teams.
Stalika, I got the upcoming schedule here. Two games missing again from the screen. Thursday, LSU is at Memphis. Friday, of course, the Kentucky-Louisville game. But what are you looking forward to going ahead this week as we start dipping our toe into conference play?
Well, a team I was going to highlight was a big orange, and that's Tennessee, because even though they lost a tough one at home to North Carolina, they rebounded with wins against Furman at home and also blew away Wake Forest. And sure enough, look what's waiting for the Vols. They're going to be going to Arkansas, which is always a tough environment. And then they're going to be hosting the aforementioned Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, actually, a lot of good games. A&M Alabama
that's
game
a,
on
that's
Saturday.
That's a real good one. Yeah.
Tytel, who wins this conference and how many bids do they get? Especially when you look at 8 teams getting votes in the polls right now.
I cannot in good conscience pick Auburn to win this conference, so forget about that. Kentucky is always the favorite. I guess I'll go a little outside and go with A&M. I wish if they'd beaten Arizona, I really thought this was like an Elite Eight team. I'm not sold on them yet because they had a chance to beat us and didn't. I think A&M can get it done, though.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with Tytel. I'm not going to guess and go with A&M. I'm going to go with A&M all the way. I think they are the best team in the league and that they win.
I'm kind of there with you.
Of course, they're also going to be without leading scorer DJ Hogue for 3 games because apparently, I guess, he had violated university policy. So his presence will be missed, certainly, for the game at Alabama and also a home game against Florida, which could suddenly be a bit of a bear trap for them.
Yeah, starting off heavy and without Hogue. So that is an issue. But in the end, I think they're just going to thunder through this league after those first two.
David, number of bids?
I
put the over-under, I tell 6.5 on this conference as well, but I'll see what
you I could see that. I think Auburn, A&M get in. I still think Arkansas can sneak in, Kentucky. I'm going to go with 6.
6? Tytel?
I can't take the over on 6.5. I'll go with the under and stick with 6.
All right. Let's run through a couple of the conferences quickly, and we've got to turn to the American. And we've got to talk about the story in the American this year, this week, was the incredible, incredible week that the UConn Huskies had.
Yeah.
I mean, Arizona 73-58, followed by a game against Auburn where I still don't think they've showed up at the arena yet, have they?
UConn is looking at finishing outside the top 100 for the second year in a row. And you got to wonder, is this at the bottom of their talent cycle? Is this a dip or is this something that things will have to change there before they get back to where it was before? And the coaching situation there, they've won a national championship under this coach. His name escapes me. I should know it.
Kevin Ollie.
Yeah, Kevin Ollie. Goes to show, I didn't bring my A game tonight either. But what is wrong with UConn? And I mean, they're getting okay. It wasn't that they got blasted by Auburn and lost the other game. It's prior to that, needing overtime to beat Columbia, who's not even good by Ivy League standards.
Well, I think you hit part of the problem, and that's Kevin Ollie actually won the title mostly with Jim Calhoun's recruited players. So. With Kevin Ollie recruits that are now completely in the fold at UConn. They just haven't had the same sustained level of success.
But what I don't get here, Tytel, is that it's not like they're bad recruits. I mean, they've got kids with talent. They're getting top players in here. And that's what's blowing my mind.
They are. I can't explain away the Auburn loss. It was a terrible loss, and you shouldn't sugarcoat it. The Arizona loss, they were down 1 with 7 minutes left on the road against a team that never, ever, ever loses a non-conference home game. So I think that's actually a pretty good loss. It got away from them at the end. They were in it most of the game.
That Auburn game was just atrocious. It really was, though. But here's the upcoming schedule in the American. As we do get into conference play, UConn has to host Wichita State for the opening game. But Stalika, I'm seeing a 3-bid league here with Wichita State winning it. I don't know if you agree or disagree with me.
Well, if you were hoping for a team like Central Florida to have a coming out party, they're going to certainly have some opportunities at SMU, and they had best not slip up at East Carolina.
If they slip up at East Carolina, they won't just land on their – they won't just fall and land on their ass. They'll land on their head and knock themselves unconscious and useless for the rest of the year.
But I think that we also have to watch for an improving team like Tulane, where they'll be going to Temple and then they'll be hosting Tulsa. So there's a possible chance they could go 2-0, but more likely they'll be 1-1 here.
UCF-SMU, that has a pivotal feel to it, even though it's the first game of league play.
Well, David, how many teams do you think make it out of this league?
Three. With Cincinnati, and I think SMU will be inside the bubble, and certainly Wichita and Cincinnati. A fourth might sneak in there, but I think it's only going to be three.
I tell you, is there a fourth team?
I'm actually going with two. I'm not a believer in SMU. I know they beat Arizona in a foreign land, and they have another win over USC, which is good, and all their losses are top 100. I interviewed Tim Dankovic a couple of months ago. He talked about they are very young. They lost Semi Ojeleye from last year. I think they only have 9 scholarship players. I think it's going to catch up to them in conference play. Not that this is the hardest conference ever, but I really think there's a huge separation between the top two and then the Houstons and SMUs of the world.
Well, any of you want to say Cincinnati's going to win this league, or is everyone going Wichita?
Wichita. I like Cincinnati's team. I just don't think they're top 10 good. I think Wichita is top 10 good.
Well, let's talk about a conference that did get a huge win this week for potentially the only team or one of only two teams to make any that are making noise here. But the Atlantic 10, we already mentioned it earlier, Slika, but St. Bonaventure, the huge win over on the road at Syracuse this week.
Yeah, it gives them, the much-needed win, because you look below, it seemed like the only other team that had anything close to a notable week was Duquesne, but it was for beating San Francisco. But even then, they turn around and lose to Southern Illinois as part of non-bracketed games in the Las Vegas Classic. But the other surprise here was Richmond, who figures to be a bottom feeder, but somehow took Boston College to overtime before ultimately falling on the road in that one.
Yeah, they did end up losing the game, though, after an atrocious start of the season for Richmond. David, here's the upcoming schedule as we get into conference play coming up on Saturday. I think we're missing one game. I'll try to figure out what game that is in a second here.
Real interesting. When you're talking about who's tournament good, I think Rhodey and the Bonnies are the only teams that are tournament good. But when you look at some other aspects, when you get below the tournament level teams, how about the job, and I don't mean this as a backhanded compliment, I'm sincere, the job that Dambrot is doing at Duquesne, they are much improved, 9-4. I know their schedule's been weak, but typically Duquesne is not anywhere near the top 200 of anything, coming out 9-4 this year. And I realize that they're really, really bad, but considering how much the fact that they've won 5 games, I think Neubauer doing a pretty good job at Fordham. Now, they're not going to go anywhere, but as bad as we thought Fordham would be, they're bad, but they're not as bad as we thought they'd be.
They're pretty bad, but the one game that's missing on that screen there coming out on Saturdays is a Saturday game, UMass at St. Bonaventure, of course, so the most relevant game is missing. But Titel, what do you think wins this
conference? Can I ask one question? Can the coaching in this league eventually elevate it to being the regular multi-bid league that we are used to seeing, where they're putting 3-4 in every year instead of just 1-2?
I think this is a down cycle. I think the conference cycle's back. But Titel, let me throw that question to you also, in addition to who's going to win the league.
St. Bonaventure is going to win the league. I know you might have heard it before, but somebody on this panel mentioned that when you lose to an undefeated TCU team and by 2 points to a horrible Niagara team without your conference player of the year, Jalen Adams, that you're going to be okay when he's back. He's been in 6 games. He won all 6 he's been in. It's going to be okay, St. Bonnie's. As far as the coaching cycle and the multi-bid league, I could see it. I mean, if Hurley sticks around Rhode Island, I think he's going to keep them in contention every year. I don't know if St. Bonaventure is going to be able to recruit guys like Jalen Adams and Matt Mobley every year, or if this is like a peak and it's going to have a huge fall-off afterwards. TCU, Jock is not there. If his disciples can bring it back up, it could be, but I think too early to tell.
Well, you've also got some decent recruits at a place like St. Louis, but they've been extremely schizophrenic in December, so that's why they're suddenly in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, and UMass has actually outperformed so far what I thought they would do this season. So there's I think there's signs of life for upcoming seasons. I just
right, for upcoming was... seasons. Because I know the league was down this year. We thought it would be down. It is down, but maybe it's not as down as we thought.
Well, let's turn over to a league that a case can be made that it's a single bid league, a case can be made that it's a three bid league, I think, here, and that's the Mountain West. David, I don't know that – well, I guess the big score from this past week was San Diego State's big win over Gonzaga.
Yeah, and they needed that. A real schizophrenic San Diego State team, but I think they've done enough to set themselves up for a bid if they finish at or near the top of the conference, as has Boise State, as has certainly Nevada, and UNLV in Fresno. So I think, like, the top half of this league is good. I think out of those six – whoever the top two or three are could be inside the bubble and as far as everybody else. But one thing's clear, this is not a one-bid league, borderline under-the-radar league the way it's been the last 2 years. It's good again. Maybe not as good as it was before, but they're going to send multiple teams, and we get started right away. I'm looking forward to that game tomorrow, Nevada at Fresno. I think that one's going to be great.
Yeah, we're missing a few games. I'll try to get them, read them off here in a second. But Ty, tell who do you think wins this league, and how many bids do you think this league is in?
I think Nevada, only just because they have so much returning talent and new talent. Do not sleep on UNLV. They've lost two games all year, both of them in overtime, the Northern Iowa and Arizona, who both should make the tournament. I think UNLV has a 20-win season in them. Brandon McCoy is going to be the player of the year in the conference and can carry a team on his broad shoulders to the tournament, I believe.
But also keep an eye on a team like Boise State, who, even though they had the tough loss at SMU recently, they still have decent wins against Loyola Chicago at home and also the buzzer beater at Oregon. Right. Hopefully they can finally get above the first four.
This league has lost a lot. Colorado State certainly lost a lot, but the whole league just sank when Tim Miles left Colorado State for Nebraska. I mean, before then they were like putting teams in protected seats. They were national caliber. It was better than the Pac-12. It was a virtual power.
Do I have to buzz you a third time?
Well, it was a virtual power conference, and it was – I mean, in the absence of Tim Miles, it started
– He's out of here. Griggs is off the show. We're going to finish up without him. But Tytel, let me quickly run off the missing games that are not on the schedule. They are Saturday's schedule, entire schedule, which most notably includes New Mexico at Nevada, Utah State, San Diego State, and Boise State at UNLV, and which should be a real good one late Saturday night. But – what I wanted to ask you is, do you think this is a multi-bid league this year?
It's a great question. My gut says no. Like, if UNLV wins 22 games, I think they and Nevada will get in. I don't know if they can pull that off, but I'll go with no.
Okay. Well, let's real quick end with one last conference. We want to take a quick look over at the West Coast. We just mentioned Gonzaga with the loss to San Diego State. Really the only loss of note. But I think when we come to this league, the question is, Salika, let me start with you, is it a two-bid league? Does BYU have a shot to make it a three-bid league?
They're only going to have a shot, assuming they sweep the table that's going to be San Diego, San Francisco, and the rest of the pack. But I have to highlight the Dons, because even though they had the tough loss against Duquesne, they did beat Nevada, which is going to be pretty notable for the West Coast Conference as a whole.
Yeah, and Tytel, you see, coming up on Saturday, St. Mary's at BYU, they finally have I think this is going to be their most difficult game they've played all season, looking at the way they schedule. How desperate is the St. Mary's team that they have no room to slip up in a game like that?
They have no room if they want to get an at-large. I still think they're capable of winning the West Coast, but obviously a loss to BYU will hurt them in both scenarios, both at-large and getting the conference bid. So, huge win for both teams. I would say bigger for BYU just because they need a signature win more than St. Mary's does.
Well, how many bids do you think this league gets then?
I think it's two. I think BYU is good, not great. I believe they lost Nick Emery earlier this year in the offseason. So I'll go with just the Zags and the Gales.
Right. Well, I guess on that note, let me turn to each of you since we threw David off the podcast and ask if you have any other final thoughts. I know it was a kind of an abbreviated show tonight, but Tytel, let me start with you.
It's not a fancy thought. I just am giddy for the ASU Arizona game this weekend. It's been a long time since ASU has had a better basketball team than Arizona. I think like Byron Scott, like 80s kind of thing. But they are deservedly a top five team in the nation and deservedly a projected number one seed. That being said, like, it's hard to beat Arizona and Tucson, so I'm pulling for my Cats, but it's going to be an amazing atmosphere. Please tune in if you get the chance. It's going to be amazing.
I'm going to be watching it. Salika, I think you already hinted at your final thought, but let me let you go ahead and toss it out there.
I don't know if it's just a matter of the way the calendar works this year, but we are seeing, a growing movement to get a little bit of a longer holiday break, because this is not just the eight teams that are going to be part of the Diamond Head or even teams that are part of other exempt events like the Las Vegas Classic. You would like to see something similar to Divisions 2 and 3 or even other D1 non-revenue sports, where at least you get a 7-day or longer day hiatus over the holidays where you don't have practice and you can spend it with their family. So that's something we're going to have to watch over the next couple of years to see if there is legislation to get more time off for student athletes so they can spend some more time with their families this time of year.
I guess my only thought on that is a selfish point that I love being able to watch games, especially on this week when a lot of us have days off work and, you know, the football's out there playing. All the football teams are playing their bowl games. Why shouldn't the basketball be playing, right? You get time off in the summer. but I guess on that note,
that's your class time.
On behalf of John Tytel, John Salika, and David Griggs, who we threw off, and maybe we'll let him back on again next week, I do want to thank everybody for joining us, and we'll talk to you again real soon.